Welcome to the Weekend Messages podcast from Pastor Philip Gonzalez and Outpost Church. Our mission is to help people say yes to Jesus so they can flourish for the glory of God. And we hope today's message helps you do just that. If you would like to learn more or contribute through giving, you can do both online at outpostchurch.org. And remember, the more you say yes to Jesus, the more you are an outpost of the kingdom of God.
So this has been an interesting week for me in my life. And also, I think we have the slides. I think we'll put that up there. I need to be able to see the slides, please. Yep. So last Saturday, we were not here. We were at my house, and we had moving day. So I wrote down on the slide, moving day with a question mark, because I didn't realize, because it's been a while since I moved. In fact, the last time I moved, it was literally across the hall. And so it's been a while. I forgot that moving is not just a day. It's an experience, and it has lasted all week long. So this week, I've been shuttling back and forth, borrowed my parents' Buick Rendezvous, which is, you know, bigger than our CRV. Television and end tables and nightstands and dressers and things we bought on Facebook Live Marketplace and things we got at this other place and people held for us. And we've been just shuffling between different locations and different things. And I feel it in my back, I feel it in my legs, and I feel it in my schedule. Because this is one of those weeks, have you had those weeks where you get towards the end and you look back and you think, what did I do? How did time get away so quickly, and I haven't gotten done the stuff I needed to get done? Who's been there?
Amen.
Yeah. So this, man, I had such high hope for this week. See, I thought that we were going to move, and then we were going to be moved, and start this brand new life, you know, within the first 3 days, and you're laughing because, you know, that's incredibly naive. You know, which you'd think I wouldn't be because I just had a birthday, and every birthday you just get wiser, right? I thought that's how it worked. You forget more. Apparently I forgot that that moving takes a while. So here's where this all kind of comes together, right? I felt so inadequate this week to manage all these things. In fact, there was this moment where I was at Lowe's just looking at this list on my phone of things I'd made, things I needed to buy to kind of have a regularly functioning household, curtain rods, and I needed some wood glue for the desk that I'm trying to put together, and we needed fly swatters because Lord knows there's flies because there's construction everywhere, and mosquito swatters. And I'm standing in the middle of Lowe's, and I have this thing where I'm looking at the list and I need curtain rods I think are this way but well plumbing is also that way and I also need a shower squeegee because we get water all over the floor when we get out of our shower but then I have so literally I'm walking back and forth shuffling more like it and I feel so helpless and all I'm trying to do is buy stuff at Lowe's and I can't even do that because my brain is just anybody ever had a week with your brain? Yeah. And then, man, I had such high hopes that we were going to, like, do a video sermon today. I was going to record it before the service, and then we were going to post it online and then start our first online church service thing. And, oh, man, it's just all ready for that. And we were also going to install, let's see, today we were going to record the video sermon. We were going to install a chandelier and 3 fans. We were delivered a dining room table. My good buddy Ray made an amazing dining room table. It's like, I can't even sing its praises enough, which is saying something, because I sing praises a lot. So I thought we could do 3 fans and a chandelier, and I was incredibly wrong. And then I thought, oh, well, and this, I've got all these ideas for this message, and I had this response thing. We were going to do like a little fill-in, like an activity for the response time, which was during communion. But then I started realizing that, number one, I forgot to get the materials that I needed from the office when I was at the office. And then I found out a lot of people aren't here tonight, so I'd rather save communion till we have more people to participate together. And so I forgot those things. And all of this leads me to a place where this week I have felt so inadequate. Like, man, I was such so excited about the Christmas series. We were gonna advertise on Facebook for this. We were gonna tell our friends. We were gonna get people. People were gonna come because the title of the series, right? You know the title. The title of our series is called "Joy to the World: How Jesus Offers Joy in Every Season." And I realized what you've probably realized also, that Christmas time is not always joyful, because there's things that come into our lives in different seasons of our life, and they stay with us. And sometimes Christmas can be very full of joy, but it can also be full of things like regret, and things like frustration, things like discouragement, things like almost despair. And so I thought joy to the world is a great message, but I couldn't get it together this week because I was trying to get the house together. And then I was driving 2 days ago. No, it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday, because I was going down to pick up a television that James picked up for us, and I had to use my parents' van to rendezvous, and so I'm trying to figure out how to work his schedule in, and I'm driving and feeling so frustrated because I've got to also then get Bradley at his rehearsal after for his Christmas thing, and then I've got to get him home, and Heather's picking up boys for a sleepover, and then we're going to the Gospel According to Scrooge in North Fort Myers, and then we're coming back home to build a box fort, and I'm driving in my parents' maroon rendezvous with this TV in the back, just hoping I can get to pick up Bradley on time so I won't make him wait again. And it was as if God just whispered. He said, "Why won't you let me love you? Why won't you let me just bless you with a week of doing stuff with your family and getting your house in order? Why do you have to feel guilty about that? Why do you have to feel that you're not enough because you're not doing this and you're not doing that and you're not doing this? Who told you that? Why don't you just let me let you rest?" And I took a deep breath, and my foot got a little lighter on the gas pedal, and my heart got a little calmer in my chest. And I was able not to completely shake the feeling of not doing a good enough job this week, but it was better. And it was interesting to me that this is the week that I was feeling that, because this is the week that we begin our three-part series called Joy to the World. And I want to share with you a message called Shepherd's Quake. Shepherd's Quake. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And it's interesting to me because this is the message where we talk about how Jesus brings us joy when we don't measure up. Do you have those places, or have you had those seasons in your life when you feel like you just don't measure up? It doesn't matter what circumstance or what standard we're talking about, right? Sometimes maybe we feel like we don't measure up on the job compared to a coworker who's performing better. Maybe we feel like we don't measure up in terms of our family and in the way we wish we could do better for them. Sometimes we feel like we don't measure up physically or financially. There's any number of things, right, where we would feel. Who would say, honestly, that you've been in a season when you feel like you don't measure up? Yeah, if we're honest with ourselves, all of us could say that's the case. And so it is that tonight, I want to show you the story of the shepherds. And you know the story. Linus tells it well in Charlie Brown Christmas. And lo, there were in the same region shepherds, right? If I'd have thought ahead, I would have memorized Linus's speech and I would have shared it. Or at the very least, printed out the King James Version and pasted it in my Bible, but I didn't. But it's okay. Do you have the King James Version? I think so. Well then, ladies and gentlemen, please take a moment and let's enjoy Mr. Rob. It's a what? Oh, okay. Oh, okay, never mind. So, this is the account written down by Luke, a doctor. Luke is a medical doctor who was hired by this guy named Theophilus to write down all the collected stories of people who were eyewitnesses of Jesus' ministry. And what's interesting to me is that I don't know how many doctors you've had the chance to get to know. A lot of times they're wonderful people, but they're not always particularly good writers, at least not handwriters, right? There's a reason why doctors have stereotypically bad handwriting. Interestingly enough, Luke, I have no idea what his handwriting was like, but his writing style is quite engaging. And for a man who was very concerned about the anatomy of human beings, he certainly has the anatomy of a story down pat. So he tells a story. And he shares these details, and we'll look at it in Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. Here's what Luke writes so that we would know the real story of Jesus. In the same region, okay, in the same region of what? Well, in the same region that Jesus was born. So before this, we hear how there was a census that goes out that Caesar Augustus, now who was the nephew of Julius Caesar, by the way, and he took power after an extended battle with some other people, Brutus and Cassius, faced off against Caesar Augustus and Mark Antony. There was this whole power struggle, and I'm really hoping I got those names right because we have a person with 17 master's degrees in history here. So did I get those names right? Yes, thank you very much. So there's this power struggle, and Caesar Augustus takes power, and he decides, hey, I want to see what I got. And so he sends out this census, and the people that have the census, and that means all the roads are crammed, and all the lodging is full, kind of like Orlando is probably going to be around Christmas time. We're looking forward to that. And so Joseph and Mary go up to Bethlehem, and you know the story. They find no room in the inn, and so Jesus is born in a manger in a stable. And so in that same region, in the same region where there is a little town of Bethlehem, and I was going to try to quote the song, but it doesn't fit, so I won't. In that same region, there's shepherds, and here it is. In that same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Terrified. In fact, I love how the King James says it. This is where it says, and they were sore afraid, right? And I always wondered, like, is that supposed to be sore afraid or like so afraid? And the guy who was writing it just had a typo. I don't know, right? But they were sore afraid, and the story goes on. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, everybody say look. Look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for, what's your Bible say? All the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for who? For you. Who is the Messiah? The Lord. Messiah is the Hebrew way of saying the anointed one. Christ is the Greek way of saying the anointed one. Perhaps your Bible says Christ, others say Messiah, means the same thing. Christ the Lord, Messiah the Lord, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly, right? So this isn't one of those nice fade-ins, you know, where like the music starts and then slowly, it's just like, bam! It's like Emerald Live was bringing the angels to town, right? Bam! There was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. Other translations say peace on earth and goodwill towards men, right? When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. By the way, I always found it interesting that the shepherds just left, right? They hurried off. And I used to think that was completely irresponsible for them to leave all of their sheep behind, right? I had this image that all the shepherds just run off and do that. Well, see, that's because I didn't know anything about shepherds or about, you know, farming and things like that. See, I'm pretty sure that the sheep weren't left unattended. I'm pretty sure that whoever was the newest or the youngest or the one who was in trouble just got left behind. Hey, Bobby, listen, we're going to go see this amazing angelic thing that just was announced to us, but you have to stay here. Yeah, because of that thing you did. Yeah, we told you we're not letting you live that down. So you stay here and watch the sheep. And poor Bobby's sitting there like, I wanted to go see the baby. I'm just going to sit here and watch the sheep. Bye-bye, black sheep. Have you any wool? Bye-bye, black sheep. Oh, dang it, sheep don't talk. So, anyway, whoever's lowest on the totem pole gets left behind and watches the sheep and all the rest of them go. And here's what they find. You know what they find, but we read it anyway because it's Christmas time and that's what you do. So they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. So that's the story of the shepherds. And I was thinking about this as I was preparing for the series and the message, and I was thinking about two things. Number one, why were the shepherds so afraid? And number two, why did they return glorifying and praising God? Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've heard this story 1,000 times, right? And they just were afraid. Probably because an angel showed up out of nowhere, and just that's kind of a thing, right? I would probably be afraid too. In fact, almost every person in the Bible who encounters an angel starts out by being terrified. So that's a pretty common precedent. But I started wondering, is there more to the story than that? And I started thinking about, and maybe you know this, maybe you don't, shepherds in the first century were not well respected at all. In fact, shepherds were seen as one of the, if not the lowest, on the socioeconomic pecking order. I was going to say totem pole, but I said that already. They were at the bottom of the barrel, one step above beggars. In fact, shepherds couldn't testify in court. They were not allowed because no one believed them. They were commonly teased, and there were inappropriate jokes made about their relationships with their sheep. And they were dirty, they were filthy, they were ceremonially unclean, which means, this is important, because they were regularly with these animals, they were ceremonially unclean, which meant they were not allowed to participate in the temple. And if they couldn't participate in the temple, this is important, right? They were not right with God, period. And that is one of the things that sometimes we miss, because here in this New Testament, New Covenant, New Jesus era, you know, we have this understanding, oh, Jesus, just trust in Jesus and you can be right with God. They didn't have that option. If you wanted to be right with God, you had to participate properly. And they couldn't because they were ceremonially unclean. They were on the outside. And then I started thinking about, well, how do you even sign up to be a shepherd? Well, I don't think you sign up. I think you just end up being a shepherd. And I thought about how, when I was studying years ago, some of the life stories of the apostles, and you have Peter and James and John, and how in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, these men are called unschooled ordinary men. And I thought about how in Jewish culture, one of the highest callings that you could receive, or one of the highest goals you could pursue, was to learn the Torah and was to grow in studying Judaism and even perhaps to be a rabbi someday. And people would want to pursue that, but if you weren't good enough, you weren't allowed to learn more about the Torah. Did you know that? Did you know they would not let you? You'd say, I want to learn more about the Torah. I want to go deeper in my faith. They'd say, oh, no, no, no. Only the brightest students get to do that, and you don't measure up. You go do whatever else you can find. I wonder, have you ever been in a circumstance when you really wanted something? Maybe it was a job or a school posting or a relationship with somebody, but somehow, whether it was spoken or unspoken, whether it was made articulated or whether it was just implied, you weren't good enough for that. And you didn't measure up for that. And you had to find some other thing to settle for. And that was the life of many people, not everyone, but many people who would have been in trades or blue-collar professions. It was certainly the life of shepherds. Because nobody in this culture would have wanted to be a shepherd because they didn't measure up. And maybe their parents would have been shepherds. Maybe their father was a shepherd and they kind of just got swept into it without much choice. Or maybe they tried to do other things and failed. Bottom line is that shepherds didn't measure up. And so when the angel shows up and says, "Greetings." I think there's two things that are happening here. Number one, they're shocked at some otherworldly being appearing. But number two, this is not the first time they've heard about angels. Angels visited people in the Old Testament. There were stories of angels. They would have understood that this is an angel visiting us. But they would have also understood that God doesn't show up to the people who don't measure up. God shows up for the good people, for the holy people, for the people that do it right, and we don't. So what is this about? And they were sore afraid. And then I started thinking, then what does this mean? And how does this happen that on the other side of this story, the shepherds aren't afraid anymore? Their fear has turned into faith. Their problem, their concern has turned into praise. Well, I think we can find the key here in verse 10. There we go. It took a moment to find it. Turn to verse 10. Look at it. The angel says something that we take for granted, but I think it's significant for the shepherds and for us. So, the glory of the Lord shones about them. They are terrified. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for..." Okay, so here's the reason that they need to not be afraid. "For, look, I proclaim to you..." Here it is. "Good news..." Everybody say good news? Good news. "Of great joy..." Say great joy. "That will be for..." Who? All the people. All the people. I thought it'd be fun to put a hashtag to it, right? Because, you know, for everyone who likes hashtags, which is pretty much me. Hashtag all the people. When the Bible says all, it means all. And I started to think about how the shepherds would have heard this message, good news of great joy for... Wait, all the people? You mean the good people, right? You mean the holy people. You mean the people who are ceremonially clean, because God does good things for people who are good people. But that's not what the angel said. And in fact, the very fact that the shepherds were the first ones that got this glorious announcement says something about the character of God. The fact that the angel says all the people means this: when you feel like you don't measure up, there's still good news for you, because you're still all the people. When you feel like you don't do it right, there's still good news of great joy for you, because you're still all the people. And for these people that the good people would have said didn't deserve a blessing from God, God chose to bless them first, because that's the kind of God he is. He's the kind of God who loves to show grace to those that the world think don't deserve it. You know why? Because if you deserve it, it isn't grace. And that doesn't give God much glory to just pay people what they're owed. God loves to give grace to those that don't measure up, because that lifts him up, and then they will lift him up too. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for the things they'd seen and heard, because they knew that even when they don't measure up, God still wanted to lift them up because he loved them. And that means there's hope for you and for me when you don't get that raise you were hoping for, or that promotion you were going for, when that person in your life doesn't respond the way you wish they would, when that goal you set you just can't hit and you've tried it 1,000 times. In those moments when you feel you don't measure up, there's hope for you, because there's hope for all the people. And I realized, though, that that's a good news message, right? Who would say that? Oh, that's good news. That's good. Listen, when you feel down on yourself, let God lift you up, because you're still all the people. You can tell yourself, I'm all the people, and that means God still loves me. I may not measure up today, but I'm still all the people, and that means God still loves me. I may not be doing what I ought to, but I'm still all the people, and that means God still is for me. But that's an easy message to forget when the circumstances of life make me feel not particularly joyful. And that's why I'm so excited about really the big idea I think God gave me for this series. And it's a thread that will run through the three experiences we'll have together. Tonight, we're talking about how Jesus brings us joy when we don't measure up. Next week, we're going to talk about how Jesus brings us joy when no one understands. And then week three, we're going to talk about how Jesus brings us joy when we feel we're far from God. But the thread that runs through that is simply this. And if you had a program guide, I'd tell you to write it down, but I don't think we got those. So just remember this, if you would. Joy is not just a moment. It's also a state of mind. See, what we find, really not just in this passage, and if we had more time, I could take you to other passages and we could look at it, but maybe you remember some of these things from being in this context before. But in the scriptures, joy is not just a moment, it's also a state of mind. It's something that you choose to step into. See, I can get wet if I happen to be out in a rainstorm, right? The other day, Alindra and I were walking in our neighborhood and we had a great time walking. And all of a sudden, one of those Southwest Florida storms starts rolling in faster than I expected. And I started to feel the first little drops. And I'm happy to report that we made it back home just in time, right? But I started to think about how easy it is to get just caught in a rainstorm. And sometimes, isn't it true that circumstances can come our way and we feel joyful because, well, we just got caught in a joy storm, right? Like, oh, I just got a raise at work. Or like, somehow I'm thinking of raises a lot. I don't know, interesting. But wow, this just happened. Or ooh, I made that light. Hooray, right? It was yellow and I got through it. Right, I didn't. Or, oh, I'm glad I wasn't speeding because I just passed an officer, right? Or you get that text message from that friend you haven't heard from for a long time and you thought you weren't friends anymore, but they said everything's okay. Any number of things can happen, right? Happen and make you feel joyful. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a moment that comes and it makes you feel joyful. But in the Bible, we see again and again that joy is not just a moment, but it's also a state of mind. But here's the thing about states of mind, right? You know this. States of mind, they don't just come. They have to be cultivated. Ask anyone who's made any significant mental shift in their life. Maybe they've taken up the practice of meditation, or they've practiced to try to beat a habit or start a good new habit, or they've tried to maybe overcome some negative thought patterns that they grew up with. Anytime you want to change a state of mind, it doesn't just happen automatically, right? Or maybe you're just like way better at that than I. I mean, you can do a temporary change of mind with chemicals, right? They say that chocolate takes only 13 seconds to reduce the stress hormones you feel in your body. So I like me some chocolate, right? You can get a change in your state of mind momentarily, but something that's a long-term shift, it didn't just come. So it's well and good to say that joy is not just a moment, it's also a state of mind. But here's what you got to do if you want to have that happen. You got to cultivate your state. You got to cultivate it. You got to start to build in routines in your life, phrases you say to yourself, things that you incorporate into your daily habits that will remind you of these things. And that's why we made the hashtag, all the people, so that you can think about that. And I hope it's corny enough and like weird enough. So think about Morgan and Morgan. They are for the people, right? So I'm sure I've seen a billboard with a hashtag for the people, right? But you know who they are, right? Because they are for the people. And they hammer that home. Here's why that's such a great marketing tactic. When I think of Morgan and Morgan, I know zero actual factual evidence or information about any of their track record. Like, I know nothing. I don't know a person who's used them. I've never read news stories about their, like, I know nothing. I know that they've been around for 30 years. I know that John Morgan he supports medical marijuana because his brother-in-law had cancer or something, because I heard a radio ad on that. And I know that Morgan & Morgan is for the people. Like, those are the three things I know. It's helpful to have that message hammered home. I hope that all the people will be a message that you will let God hammer home to you. When you feel like you don't measure up, you're still all the people, and that means that there's good news for you, that God loves you. Because Jesus came not for the people who measure up. In fact, he himself said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. So when you feel you don't measure up, if you want to cultivate your state, if you want to cultivate the state of joy in your life, remember that you are all the people That means there's joy to the world for you.
Hi, friends. Pastor Philip here, and thanks for joining us today. If you've been blessed, we'd love to know. Please leave a review on iTunes or Facebook, or email us at connect@outpostchurch.org. Also, if you'd like to contribute to this ministry, you can send a text message with any amount to 84321 or just visit outpostchurch.org/give. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.